hear a lot about how different generations don't understand each other. What if we're wrong? Odyssey's podcast, It's Generational, is here to bring together baby boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z for conversations you won't find anywhere else.
I'm a little upset that I spend money on my hair.
I went and dyed my whole head purple.
I didn't get my license until 21.
And I wonder, as a Gen Xer, somebody who grew up biding your time as a teenager until you turned 16 and were able to get a driver's license.
Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Very excited about this next conversation that we're going to have here, because we, first of all, I have four kids. So I have kids in the school systems. I send my kids to Lutheran schools for Christian reasons. It's been a priority to me before anybody's been super aggressively opposed to whatever is being taught in the public school system. It's just a personal choice my family makes, but I do support a public school system financially and with my public interest. But the question is, when ever in a referendum comes around, or we need to put more money into the system to, you know, obviously help the kids, is that paying off? And there are a lot of stories out there right now nationally about Baltimore school districts where there are children failing in basically every different subject. And the question is, how much money is being put in for these kids to be failing? Well, it turns out Illinois has a little bit of a story similar to that. And WirePoints, of course, if you go to wirepoints.org, is on the case. Ted Dabrowski, the president of WirePoints, joins us now to discuss this. And Ted, I'm so glad that you're here to talk to about this, because it's at home and people need to know about it.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. And it's a really sad story about the failure of our school system. Zero kids can read in a lot of schools. Zero kids can do math at grade level in a lot of schools. And it's yet another indictment of the public school system. And what's the really scary part of the story is, like you said, a lot of money's being spent, but there's a lot being done that kind of covers up just how bad it is. And it seems like nobody really cares. So we're excited in a bad way. We're excited to bring this stuff up and you know, let everybody know about it, because it's sad. It's kids can't read, and that spells doom for a lot of kids.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at this list. It says I'm from wirepoints.org. And if you're interested in reading this article, we'll share it as well. But it's got great information and factual details in here. Not a single student can read at grade level in 30 Illinois schools. There's a huge chunk of these that are the city of Chicago. We're downstaters. So we know about Chicago. It's kind of easy for downstaters to just, you know, push the Chicago problems off to the northeastern part of the state and feel like we're overlooked here. But there are states, or there are schools that are in our listening area right now who can't read at grade level. And then I look at the 53 Illinois schools who can't do math at grade level. I see Cahokia here. I see Brooklyn. I see Madison. I mean, there are areas right in our listening audience right now where these kids are being overlooked. Ted, what is anybody doing about this?
Nobody's doing anything, frankly. I tell you, I've been covering this for a while, and we did a big report on the statewide problems, in particular Decatur. You know, if you look on here, there's a Hope Academy. It's got 566 kids in the school, and zero of them can read at grade level. And it's that problem, and not just in the school. Decatur, the whole Decatur district, out of the 8,000 kids, for the black children, for example, in the third grade, just 2 out of every 100 could read at grade level. And, you know, if you can't read in the third grade, you're in big trouble when you get to science in the fifth and, you know, history in the seventh, because you just can't consume the classes. And this is where the problem starts. Then, of course, we wonder why we're struggling so much in our, you know, Peoria and Decatur and Waukegan and all those cities.
Yeah. And it's, you know, tough. Ted Dabrowski with us right now. He is the president of WirePoints, where you can read this data and the analysis that they've performed on it. But I've also noticed, I don't know if COVID has fast-tracked this or not, but it seems as though being adequate or of a passing, at least average, ability to do the subject work is not required to advance these kids on. They get left behind. They get shuffled along. They don't want to have high failure rates at these schools. So kids get passed when they shouldn't get passed because they don't understand the material. That, to me, that sustains systems. It doesn't uplift children.
Annie, that's it. So all they do is they pass the kids along. We see this. We've studied it a lot, just across the whole system. They can't read in the third. They still pass into the fourth. They still are not grade level in the fourth, and they go to the fifth. And then they get to 11th grade, right? And then they get to graduation. And the reading rates in a lot of these schools are 10%. You know, one out of every 10 kids can read at grade level. And yet 85%, 90% of them will graduate. And so, you know, if you listen to Governor Pritzker's speech yesterday, he said to the state, he bragged about graduation rates. But he will never talk about what you and I are talking about right now. He will never discuss how sad it is that in many of these schools, and for blacks across the state, it's one out of every 10 can read at grade level. So to say it backwards, nine out of every 10 can't read at grade level. And for Hispanics, it's eight out of every 10 can't read at grade level. That should be the biggest thing we focus on in Illinois. If you want to solve crime, if you want to solve wealth gaps, all that stuff, education is it. And when we don't focus on it, well, guess what? We have problems.
Well, then, you know, I'm thinking about this right now. I'm sitting in St. Louis, Missouri. Of course, I live in Illinois. There has to be something that people who are listening to me right now, there has to be something they can do. And I'll point back to Madison Senior High School, Madison CUSD 12. 159 students enrolled at this school, zero students who are math proficient. There is, according to the chart that I'm looking at on the wirepoints.org article, with zero students who are math proficient out of 159 students, the cost, the school spending per student is $19,903. It's $20,000. And zero of them are able to do math proficiently. What do the people listening right now, what is the measurable thing that real live listening people right now can do to help these kids? Because forget the politics, forget the unions. How do we help the kids?
Yeah, you know, so for me, and this is really hard for parents to try to figure this one out. Now, one, let me just say one thing important. Parents own this as well, right? So as parents, we all should be really super engaged in our kids' education. So if we're not, that's step number one, is to get really engaged, help your kids get engaged. But number two is we need to challenge the school districts, the school principals. Why are these schools, for example, many of them are called commendable. That's the second best rating that the State Board of Education gives to school districts. That's another joke, right? Why are these schools called commendable when zero kids can read? So you really got to go challenge the system. Why is my kid getting promoted to the next grade if he or she can't read? We have to start finding out where our kids are and then help them out, because the school district, despite how much we spend, is not doing its job.
How do we do that? Because, you know, Ted, when I think about this, if it's a political issue and the Democrats aren't on it, it's not going to happen in Illinois. That's the position that voters have put the state of Illinois in. That's just the facts of the matter. Massive supermajorities of Democrats in both places of the General Assembly. Governor Pritzker, who, you know, can champion any political point that he can pick out of the real full story to make himself look better so he can run for office again. You know, these aren't the people who I voted for. Yeah, these are not the people I voted for, but they are my elected officials, representatives. How do we fix this around the political system?
Well, I will tell you, it's not going to get fixed. And so the big paper that we wrote at WirePoints, you know, you can go find it on WirePoints, but it basically is it's an indictment of the Illinois public education system. We say the system now is beyond fixed. Now, that doesn't mean we don't care, right? We need to make it as good as we can. But I think the real power for individuals is now speak to a legislator and say, I want school choice. If this system isn't going to fix itself, then allow me to have a voucher, some education savings account, where I can take my kid, take the public money that's being spent on my kid, and let me take it to a Catholic school or a Lutheran school or a non-denominational school. It doesn't matter. Just some other private school. Let me take it for homeschooling. Let me go somewhere else because these schools obviously aren't working. And again, let me just make one more point, Andy. We focused on the worst of the worst, but there's hundreds of schools where just one out of 10 kids can read, right? There's a whole bunch of those. So the list is much longer than this list where they're failing. So it takes parents going and saying, hey, I want a voucher. You know, this is not working. Give me the power. Empower me to go find a school that works better for my kid, because this public one is not.
Ted Dabrowski with us right now. He's the president of WirePoints. It seems as though having the money follow the student is, to me, it's so incredibly simple. It's a simple concept, and it puts the child at the epicenter of that child's education. It prioritizes them, and it entrusts parents, rightfully so, to make the decision as to what is best for their child's education and their future. Who would stand in the way of that?
Well, yeah, well, we know the unions will because they have all the power. And this is the whole thing that we wrote about. It's a system now. It's a system where if you look at the teacher evaluations throughout the state, but even in a place like Decatur, 98, 100%, 97% of teachers will get an evaluation of excellent or proficient, even though you got like two out of every 100 kids that can read. So the unions are in the way. The whole system's in the way. There's a lot of money being made, as we all know, by the superintendents, by the whole system. So, you know, school choice is really it. Now, the good news is it's a school choice is popping up everywhere. And in Iowa, the governor just signed school choice, which will eventually be for all kids, so that vouchers or education savings accounts can be used for kids to go anywhere. So, look, it's happening. It happens in Indiana. It's already in Wisconsin. We need to push for it in Illinois. We'll be last because we're backwards. But the push has to happen, and eventually these kids will have some choices. And, you know, and give parents, you know, empower parents to choose something better for their kids.
Ted Dabrowski, thank
you. Hope is there. Hope is there.
Well, and we have to keep talking about it. We have to keep honestly normalizing the conversation and really truly saying there is a solution here. And for a successful public school that is prioritizing its kids' education and helping them effectively and rightfully move from grade to grade to grade to grade, will continue to succeed in that environment. The people will still seek those schools out.
Annie, can I give you a quick example of something good?
Yeah, please.
So right there near you in Aviston, Illinois, and in Bartelso, Illinois, are the top two performing schools in the state when it comes to reading. And this is before the COVID, so we don't get into the COVID discussion. 2019, number one was Aviston, number two was Bartelso. Best reading, 85% of the kids were at reading level. And here's the amazing part of the story. They spent the least in the state on education, $7,500 a student.
Wow.
It's the lowest in the state. So it can be done when families and a school district unite around education and reading and values, because they're faith-based in those communities and they have values in those communities and the parents care. So they all get together. It's an amazing story of low spending, best results in the state.
Yeah, that is a great story. And those success stories need to be championed as well. Ted, thank you. We appreciate it. We appreciate Wire Points being on this and being able to provide people with the factual information so they can do a little bit of their own research and make their own conclusions. Please keep doing that. And we will be in contact as we move forward in a place where maybe someday parents and kids will actually have those choices.
Annie, thank you for covering this.
Of course. Bye-bye. He's the president of Wire Points. You can go to wirepoints.org. And read more from Ted Dabrowski, who was gracious with his time with us here today.
Get more at 971talk.com.